Nubia.
Thank you, Katrina. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Oh, the pleasure is entirely ours. So just before we start getting into all your wonderful work, Zenobia, could you just tell me, how did you come to realize that you deserve only the best?
That's an excellent question. And I think, you know, in terms of what I do today, that was not the case that I realized that I only deserve the best. I'm going to address that in a moment. I just had a flashback to my home as a child. And I think my father was most instrumental in helping all of us. I'm the oldest of five. And wow. I think he was very instrumental in I believe in helping all of us, but I know for me in particular that I should always put my best foot forward. I should strive for the best, and I should look for the best. And best did not have to mean, we were not a wealthy family, so best did not, in our case, ever mean, you know, the most expensive or the most glittery or anything like that, but just your basic ethical integrity, effort types of situations. Strive for the best grades. Strive for the best, and before the grades, for the best learning. My father was very key on learning and education, and he wanted the best for his children. He happened to be a laborer, but he was a very smart man. And he was, to some degree, he also led the way for me to grab a hold of lifelong learning. And so I answer you that way from my childhood. So that propelled me forever, for whatever I did, to reach for the best and desire the best. But in terms of what I do today in health and wellness, I didn't come into health and wellness in terms of what was best for me necessarily. I worked for a teaching hospital, a very leading at the time. It was one of the leaders of teaching hospitals. It's called the today it's MedStar, a part of MedStar, but it was the Washington Hospital Center in Washington, D.C. And I was gifted to be extended the invitation to become a part of the public relations and development department. And I just want to pause here for just one moment. I know I'm really rattling on and not waiting to hear from you, but I just want to give some kudos to the woman who hired me. She was very dedicated to women. And that was back in the early 70s, early and mid 70s. And that's when I joined the team. So I don't know how long she had been doing this at the time, but I've maintained a 30 plus year relationship with this woman. And I just want to honor her in my own thoughts and to our listeners. She was so instrumental for all of us. She was dedicated to having a female staff in this leading hospital. Some of my charges were to walk with the media through operations, to be there as their conduit between the physicians and our administration. And I remember watching an open heart surgery. That was, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I was in my 20s and kind of mid-20s. And I'm seeing this open-heart surgery take place. And at first I was scared because I thought it was going to be like television with blood everywhere. But they really maintain and contain. And it wasn't like that at all. And I was just drawn into that. I also had the responsibility for organizing and conducting the first health fair of the hospital.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But let me just pick up on a bit of what you've been talking about, because what really struck a chord with me was when you talked about your childhood and the influence of your dad and how he just asked you to look out for the best.
Yes.
Like, we should look out for the best and expect the best, shouldn't we? And also what you said about the best not necessarily being what was most expensive.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I think that that and, just, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just think that that ingrains a real, not just sense, but being of character. Mm-hmm. You know, I just credit my dad with so much. He's deceased now. But I just credit him so much with, and both my parents, but particularly my dad, as I reflect on this, he was very famous for, he didn't say a lot, but when he said something, it was just so germane. And it was so, for me, life crystallizing. He, one of the things I remember him saying many times was that, in one way or another, I'm just going to paraphrase, that I was not any better than anyone else, but they were no better than me. We were on equal plane. And that, I can't tell you how much that carried me throughout my life, particularly as I would go into many situations, including my graduate education, where I would be either one of few or the only minority, and many times be hit with the, I'm not taking this to the race issue, but be hit with prejudices, uninformed responses, uninformed comments and actions. And I was able to not be damaged by any of that.
Yeah. And what, I mean, you have your dad as a big influence in your life, and then you also talked about your boss.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you started off in the media or in this hospital, but how did you come really to be so interested in not just the hospital health, but health and wellness in general?
Well, that's the thing. Because of the hospital, I did, and at the time, I didn't really realize the strength of this and the massiveness of this. But in addition to doing the health fair, I also would go out into the community and conduct career workshops. Right. So I'm educating students and others that were might be interested in various careers in health. But it was the health fair in particular, because we brought people in for the basic testings, you know, their eyes, their blood pressure. They did something with their feet. The physicians did something with their feet. The various testings that you could do outside of a clinic situation. And I would see the what's the word that I'm looking for? People were very, I can't think of the word, but people were very needful of, as they are today, of some interventions in their lives. And, you know, folks with very bad vision, folks with very high blood pressure. I think they did a test for the diabetes, for the blood sugar, very high blood sugar levels. And today that is, we are in an epidemic situation when it comes to some of these same health issues that I've mentioned. And so I began to see, not at the hospital, but as time went on, including an experience that I had with having anemia, that people could change their patterns with behavior, nutrition, exercise, modifications with supplementation, nutritional supplementation, and be be the best that they possibly could be. And my personal experience with that was, again, with my anemia, my iron deficiency anemia. I had done all that the doctor said to do, and nothing was changing. And, you know, I was eating the liver. I was taking the supplements over the counter. I was taking supplements that were prescription-based, and nothing was happening. And all into the point, I'm carrying this deficiency into my marriage and into my childbearing years. And it was with my second child. I'm making a bed, leaning over one bed after I make it in order to get enough energy to do the second bed. When I met someone who talked to me about taking ownership for my own health, and that she thought that she had something that would help me. Now, I just thought, now what in the world could she have? Because I've tried everything that there is. But lo and behold, because she said that, you know, you try this, and if after a month of taking it on a regular basis you feel no different, then you will get all of your money back. And so I said, I can't lose with that. So I did. I subscribed to that program, and I tell you, in 3 days I felt better. And after about 6 weeks, I went and had my blood panel taken, and I almost fell over because it was all in the normal range. So I think, to answer your question specifically, I am dedicated to helping as many people as I can with the education that I can to take ownership. Of course, you have to work with your physician or your other healthcare practitioner or practitioners. But I love it when I see that people don't just take, you know, a directive, and if that doesn't go the way it should, that they would give up. Also, I encourage people to ask questions. You know, don't just let the physician or your other healthcare practitioner dictate what is going to happen with your life. I've had incidents wherein I was told that I had ulterior motives for wanting to have an additional diagnosis or a diagnostic treatment. And I would just insist that they go the extra mile, or, you know, we are here in a situation where we have alternatives. I could go to another physician. So you don't let anyone come between what it is that you want to have happen, even if you don't know what's going on. Always get another opinion, at least one. I remember having a breast exam, and I found a lump, and they told me they couldn't see me in for another month or so. And I said, there's no way that's going to happen. So I packed up my stuff, and I tried to reason with them on the phone. That wasn't happening. I shared with them that I had friends in my life who I'd lost to breast cancer of recent time, and I needed to know what was going on. So I packed up my books and my little office business that I was working on, and I went to the office, and I, you know, called the person who was in charge of the scheduling aside so I wouldn't embarrass her in front of all these people sitting in the waiting room. And I just said to her, I have come, and I am not leaving until I'm seen today. And said, okay. She said, I'm not sure when I can work you in, but we will. And so after about 3 hours, I was prepared to stay all day long and all night if I needed to.
Yeah, but this is also about demanding the best, isn't it?
Yes,
it's about
knowing
that you deserve the best and then demanding it.
I didn't think of it in that term. In those terms, you're right.
Yeah, and what struck me also from what you told us about was that you had to to go through several days, like, but the woman who recommended the supplement said that you should do a whole month of it, right?
So she said that many people, most people, a month, yes, that's right.
So when we do something on a regular basis, I believe that this is when the real change can happen. And I know that you are very big on what shall I say, persistence and on routine. So maybe you could share a bit with us what you would recommend for people that we do perhaps as a morning routine or anything else that we can really do to boost our own health and wellness?
Well, I certainly can.
Great. Do you have a morning routine, Zenobia?
I do. I absolutely do. And I can't say it's without fail, but it's 99.9% without fail.
Mm.
And I don't know how everyone else wakes up, but I typically, I don't know, it's like I'm in sort of a fog. I'm waking, but I'm not totally alert. But as I'm waking, I'm thinking about my day a little bit, but more than that, I'm thinking about my Creator, and I'm thanking God. You know, if we want to talk a little bit about mind and body and health, I'd like to go there for what I do, and I think about, there's a scripture in the Bible, in Ephesians, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And I'm not thinking totally like, you know, with what I've just said to you, but I am putting on those pieces, and it's like a warrior. I mean, and I'm not trying to go to war, but the day that comes, we don't know what the day is going to bring. And so if the first thing I do is I thank God for caring for me through the night and for waking me up and for the fact that I can breathe and move. And I begin to put on those pieces of armor that is talked about in Ephesians. And I won't go through all of that here. If anyone's interested, they can look at that. But it begins to center me. I can't center myself. I lived for 28 years thinking I could and learned that I could not. It was not up to me. I was not the captain of my ship. As independent as I am, as opinionated as I used to be, and I still am very strong in my beliefs, whatever that might be, and I don't just, you know, mean in terms of, quote, religious beliefs, but in all beliefs and positions, I learned that I could not, and I didn't fall on my face necessarily. It's just that I speak like everybody else. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? And I came out to believe in Jesus. But anyway, so from that, I start stretching. I think it's very important to stretch the body. And I stretch in bed. I begin my stretching routine in bed.
So do you? It's delicious, isn't it?
Yes. I don't just jump out of bed and then begin to stretch. I begin to stretch in bed. And I don't know. I just, my from the feet on up, and I elongate the body, and I don't do the very same routine every day, but the stretching in the bed is in the bed every day. And I just enjoy it. It just seems to lubricate. It certainly untangles. And then when I do get up and I do whatever bathroom duties I'm going to do, I'll have a drink, and I'll either have room temperature water, plain water, or I'll have apple cider vinegar with water and a little honey, or there's another drink that I make with a one of my supplements. It's a hydrator, and I'll take like a half of a serving of that and put it in a glass of tepid water, along with some cayenne and turmeric. And it's just delicious. Both that and the apple cider vinegar is like. And sometimes I'll do water and lemon. Water and lemon, sometimes alone, but more most often with a little honey, and maybe some paprika. Not paprika, cayenne pepper. Mm-hmm. Did I say paprika before? Because I didn't mean paprika. I meant
cayenne.
You did
say cayenne. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And does that set you up for the day? Then do you feel energized? Or what?
I do feel energized.
That.
I do feel energized, and I feel. I guess energized is the best word. It's because it does give me a boost. It gives me a boost until I have breakfast, and I will have breakfast, whether it's food that I chew or food that I juice. And so that's my routine.
Wow. So do you think it's important to set up like both mind and body for the day?
I do. I really do. And I don't know, you know, everybody would have whatever they might do. But in addition to me, I did not share this. In addition to me having that time where I'm thanking God in the bed, I also go and I have what I call a quiet time, wherein I'll read a passage from the Bible, and maybe even journal, depending on what I'm receiving from that passage for the day, and it really sets me up to receive whatever comes, whatever
so
happens that
just,
day.
Right. It's not just about having.
It's not just what.
It's not just about having a body that is totally functional. It's also getting your mind on board, getting your spirit with you.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
So is that something you help other women with in your health programs, in your wellness coaching?
I have, but it was more during the time that I did more specifically with, when I dealt more specifically with life coaching. However, when it comes up, yes, I mean, it's something that I will help. It's not like it's a part of a paid program. I am just always open to sharing with people, and particularly women, in any way that I can. And I don't charge for most of my services. I am just here. I've had too many people to help me, and I know I also have to make a living, but at the same time, I will debunk making a living for helping. I'm not, again, even as my state today, I'm not wealthy, but I'm in a position where I can do that. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that. I've called myself a servant leader.
Thank you for sharing all that with us today, Zenobia.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and that our summit, I know our summit, it will just continue to be the highlight of many of our lives. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you.